Amen. 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 Let's go to John 3:16, and then we're going to go to John 13. I'm sharing out of the Passion Translation. And it reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge it and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." Amen. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know you are my true followers." Amen. Tell your neighbor, "I love you with the love of the Lord." Yeah. Amen. Did you mean it? Amen. Did someone say it first? Turn to John 1, not 1 John, just John 1. We're going to read, let's read verse 5 out loud together. Are you there? I'm in the King James. It said, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And we found through our study of that word in the Greek that the word katalambano really means to seize, to take, to firmly grasp, to pull down, to tackle, to conquer, to dominate. That's what that word means. And when you look at it, when it says that scripture says that the darkness can't do that, then according to Pastor Renner, he has that verse translated, "And the light shineth in the darkness," but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. And I think it's very important that we understand that characteristic of darkness. It can't do nothing to light. Amen. It's really that simple. And, you know, we wound up talking about it on Sunday. And there's a gentleman that comes, and he's, you know, his wife is usually more talkative than he. And he's usually quiet. But he had something to say, because he got a revelation. Rob, would you do me a favor? Turn out the lights in the hallway and just close these doors. Because he said, "I just thought of an analogy that clearly defines how darkness has no power over light." And we're like, "Really? Well, what is it?" He said, "Well, it's light in this room. And if we turned out all of the lights in the hallway, and then open the door." Would you open the door for me, please? Look, he's got a deacon there. Well, matter of fact, here's the door. Yeah, just open the door. Oh, open the door. Light is gone out into the hallway, but darkness hasn't come in the room. Okay? He said, "Wow." That's what he said. He said, "When you think about it, darkness can't come in wherever there's light. But light will always penetrate the darkness." You can turn back on. Thanks. He was excited. That's what we said. Everybody had to stop and give a hallelujah for that one. You know, because we need to understand that. We are light beings. Since we are light beings, why are we concerned about darkness? When all we have to do is be who we are, and who we are will take care of the darkness. How can darkness advance past light? It can't. So if you see darkness on the horizon, why are we waiting for it? You start moving towards it, and it starts disappearing because it can't stay. And there isn't a thing dark. See, we can all learn another language. If we wanted to, we could learn how to drive a tractor trailer, could learn how to fly a plane, because we have the ability to do that. Darkness doesn't have the ability to even learn how to overcome light. It just can't. We have to understand that, folks, because when we understand that, maybe we'll start going some of the places we're afraid to go because it's so dark in that area. You know, maybe we'll do some things that we haven't been doing. So that same light that darkness can't do anything about, we have. The same light that drove darkness off the face of the earth, the same light that took all the darkness from in Paul and Saul of Tarsus and around Saul of Tarsus, the same light that God sent when he was ready to reconcile man back to himself, we are. We need to understand that. That's why it says over in Ephesians 5, you were once in darkness, but now, I like the Weymouth translation, it says now as Christians, live in the light. No, I'm sorry, it says as Christians, you are light itself. And because you're light itself, then it says live and act as children of the light. But we have to understand that. We are light itself. And we just need to act like it. You understand? Okay. I was reading, I'm just skipping down some things. If you want to know a deep review, you got to listen to the other, you know, get some of the other CDs. But in Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. When we studied out that word cannot, we found out that it means doesn't have the power to. A city set upon a hill does not have the power to be hidden. Why? It's up on a hill. Everybody that looks in that direction can see it. It said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I want to focus on so shine. He said, let your light so shine. Well, to find out what that means, you have to look at what he said. One of the things you want to do is look at what he said before that. And he said, you're like a city, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And we talked about how 3 miles from Nazareth is this city set on a hill called Sephora or Sephoria, or that Greek word. Okay. And no matter where you are in the region of Galilee, you can see that city. And they said, especially at night when all of the lights are in place. And he said, it's an attraction. And in Sephora, there was wealth. It was trilingual. I mean, it was just exquisite in every way. And it kept most of the people that lived in Nazareth, where Jesus lived, they were employed in Sephora. Because that was the center of all of their commerce. And so throughout Jesus' childhood, he would come out, he would look, and he would always see what? That city set upon a hill. Said it can't be hidden. You can see it no matter where you are. You can see it even if the lights aren't there during the day. See, sometimes we think if we choose not to let our light shine that we still can't be seen. We can. If we turn these lights out, you can still see the light fixture. And you'll wonder, why isn't it shining? Don't they have a maintenance department here or something? You know, it's a light, it should be shining. So when Jesus said you were like a city set upon a hill, he was telling us something. He was letting us know that wherever we are, we should always be seen and there isn't anything we can do about it. He said, you can't be hidden. We don't have the power to be hidden. Once we've announced who we are, that's it. That's it. And then he said, neither do men light a candle. And we found out that he wasn't talking about a wax candle, but he was talking about an oil lamp. They didn't have wax candles then, according to Pastor Rick in his studies. They had oil lamps. And he said there were so many at every archaeological dig is loaded with remnants or fossils of these clay oil lamps. So wherever you go, he said, you can start digging anywhere in Israel, you'll find pieces of them. Because everybody had them because that was the source of light. And they were very fragile. They were made of clay. You know, they held oil. They had a place for a wick. And if you held it too tightly, it would break. Yet everybody was paying whatever price was asked for this little frail vessel because they wanted the light that it provided. And Jesus is telling us that to let us know that we're human beings. We can be frail human beings. We have the light in us that this world wants. And just like people were willing to pay any price to get a hold of one of these lights, they'll do the same thing today if they can see the light. If they can see it. Because if they can't see it, they're not sure that it is there. And then we found out, we didn't find out, we told you to do it Wednesday, but it snowed. Okay, so we didn't do it Wednesday, but we'll do it today. When we talk about candlestick, it's not talking about a candlestick like, you know, you normally see this thing, you put the wax candle on it, but it's a stand on which you would sit this little oil lamp. And people put these things all over the place, put them in their windowsills and on tables, and because they wanted people to see the light. And the only way they could see the light is if they put the light in a position where it could do some benefit, where it could light up the whole area. See, it's not enough to have the light down on the ground. The light has to be lifted to a place where it can be seen. Where it can be seen. And so when we talk about candlestick, we're really talking about a lampstand. If you start looking at some other translations, they say lampstand. Because the word candle, it's referred to as an unfortunate translation of the word lupnus. And it refers to a small oil lamp. And the candlestick is the pole. Is a light stand where you can put that lamp. That's what it is. And Jesus said, you don't put the light under a bushel. You don't put the lamp down and then take a pot and put over it and expect that it'll give light. He said, anyone that lights a light doesn't do that. Why not? The purpose of the light is for it to shine, to give light. Let me show you another illustration. Let's turn off these lights for a moment. I know no one in here is afraid of the dark. Okay. Where's this one over here? Just for a moment. Ooh. See, if I turn on this light and just hold it down, I can't see you, but I can see this face. But as I raise it, what happens? It starts covering more. And the higher it goes, look at that. I see you. Okay. See, but it's the same light. It's the same intensity. I didn't do anything to make it brighter. All I did was raise it higher. And in the same matter, if I just drop it down, Oh, this is nice. I can see everything over here. This is good, but you can't see it, and you can't see me. But I have the light. No, I have to have my light raised up high so you can see it, and I can see you, and you can see everything that's going on with me. That's why it has to be on a candlestick. You can turn it back on. I don't want to go back over and hurt your ears. All right. But we have to understand that this light is of no value if it's not raised, if you can't see it. Doesn't matter how bright it can get. If it's not in the right position, it doesn't help. It's just like playing baseball, okay? Let me use my baseball play over here. Come on. Go on, Robert. See, if you want to play a baseball game and need a pitcher and a catcher, all right, I'm the pitcher, he's the catcher. Okay, we're getting ready to start the game. But we can't start the game because the catcher's not in position. He's present, but he's not in position. Because catchers, that's not the position of a catcher. See? That's the position of a catcher. Okay? That's where he can be the benefit. But if even though he's present, if he's not in position, we can't go any further. Thank you. The same thing. I have the light. It's turned on. What good is it? What it's doing, it's wasting energy because it's burning fuel and it's not doing anything. And Jesus said, we don't do that. We don't put the light under a basket, but we put it on a lampstand so it gives light to the whole house. The whole house. See, during the time of the New Testament, it was customary for homes and businesses and things to use these lamps to light up their homes, to light up their storefronts. You know, and they put them all on these high pedestals. And if they wanted superior light, they'd put it on a higher pedestal, because the higher the pedestal, the greater the dispersion of the light. So when Jesus said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, he was telling us that we have to lift up our lights. It has to be lifted up. And I thought it was interesting that Jesus also said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. If we allow our lights to be lifted up, our lights will draw all men to the same Christ, because they'll be seeing Christ moving in our lives. That's why I said they will see your good works. And when they see your good works, what will they do? They'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, I want to tell you something else. Let me find it, because we're all over. Okay. Another part of light, of our light, that we don't think about it in that manner, but it is, it's also our gifts and talents. It's part of the light that we have. And too many times, for whatever reason, either we think we're not good enough, we're not qualified, or we're just flat out afraid, and we don't say we're afraid, we say, well, I'm shy. No, you're afraid. Okay, that's all, you're afraid. And we don't lift up, let our gifts be lifted up. And sometimes we'll use, you know, get real spiritual and say, well, I don't want to draw attention to myself. Well, Jesus said, draw attention. He said, let your light shine before men so they can see what? Your good works. He wants attention drawn to us so that it draws people to him. He doesn't want attention. He doesn't want our light to shine to make people want to come and just lift us up. No, the purpose is for them to see the Christ in you, for them to understand you're only doing this because God's helping you. And I want that kind of help. And if since you got it going, you can tell me how to do the same thing. But we have to stop being afraid to use our gifts and to use our talents. Pastor Renner said that he's not the best writer, although he's authored several books that are doing extremely well. He said there are plenty of authors that are much better than him. There are books out there that have been written that are much better than his, but they hadn't been lifted up. The person put them under a bushel, so no one ever found out about them. You remember the story of the talents? What happened to the one that hid his talent? It was taken away. Because even though it was just one talent, it was just as valuable as the one that had five, the one that had 10. It was just as valuable. Because it's a gift that God gave to you, and he wants it lifted up so people can see it. Now, saying that, you know, I have to say this, you know, as a cautionary measure. See, God has gifted he's given every single person gifts and talents. It doesn't mean they're all designed for performance. It doesn't mean they're all designed necessarily for public, although they should be displayed. It doesn't necessarily mean that you come to the pastor and say, God gifted me in this area and I think you should use me. No. Out where you are, you let your light shine. You let your gifts shine. If you believe the word, it says your gifts will make room for itself. So if there's a particular place God wants that gift to show up, he'll work it out. You don't have to do it. People are working too hard trying to promote themselves when all they need to do is find out from God, where do you want this gift, Lord? And just concern yourself with going where your gift is. I was talking with someone today, and I was telling him the same thing. So there are a lot of things that you do well. Things you do well, keep doing. The things you don't know, align yourself with people that know how to do them. Because you trying to do them is making a mess. That's not your gift. It's just that simple. In marriages, you know, both the husband and wife are not necessarily very good with finances. Whichever one is good with it, let them handle it. That's their gift. You know, if it's not your gift, don't covet it. Operate in your gift. Said, let your light so shine. Didn't say let your husband's light shine, or let your wife's light shine, or let your next door neighbor's light shine. No, you let your light so shine. That's telling me I'm only responsible for my light. I'm the one responsible that makes sure my light is fully powered. How does it stay fully powered? The oil of the Holy Ghost. The more time you spend, the brighter your light will be, and the longer your light will burn. It's just that simple. You know, so don't be afraid to let your light shine, and don't be afraid to let your gift be seen. God gave it to you to be seen. He didn't give it to you to hide. Remember, I told you, the amount of this light is the same, but the higher it was raised, the more coverage. It covered a greater area, and that's what he wants. We want maximum visibility. Just like, what I said that city was, the Greek word, Sepphoris. Yeah, close enough. Just like Sepphoris, especially at night, when everyone had their lamps in place on pedestals, that city lit up the region. And people came from all around the world at that time to see Sephora, to be and to be influenced by the people and the customs of Sephora. We want people to be influenced by the influence that Christ has on us. We want people influenced the same way. Well, first they have to see us. They have to know where we are. That's the first thing. And then they have to, once they find out where we are and they come, they have to see us doing good works. And when they come to where we are and see us doing good works, they will glorify our Father in heaven. That's what they'll do. And our Father in heaven will be pleased with us. Anything else is unacceptable. It can't be, well, I have my light shining most of the time. Jesus didn't say that. He said, let your light so shine. And he was referencing, let it be like Sephora that you can't miss. Let it be like the lamp that's never burned out, that's set high on a lampstand, giving light to the whole area. Let it be like the influence that the city had on the people in the region, where everybody in the region wanted to come. That's what he wants from us. That's why he said, let your light so shine. In the same manner that I just got finished telling you about the city on the hill and all of that, in the same manner, your light is to be shining in among men. Jesus never coined the phrase closet Christian. He didn't. I don't know where it came from. And to be honest with you, I was very surprised when I heard it, because I was so excited about being a Christian. I'm like, why would anyone not want to do this? You know, when you think about, when you understand who you are, you don't care. And practically every single one of us had a moment in time where we didn't care what someone else thought. Amen. For whatever reason. Amen. You know, whether it was natural or artificial, we went through a time when we didn't care. You know, we had courage from somewhere, you know, that didn't matter. And I've told you many times, I tell people, look, if we fight and you win, my mommy will come after you. I mean, that's high school senior. I'm saying to my friends, mommy said, come home. Six, four, over 220 pounds, rock solid. Mommy said, come home. Oh, you always do what mommy says? Yes. What are you, a mama's boy? Pretty much. Pretty much. Mama takes care of me. Mama taught me what to do with you if this continues. But I tell him, if we fight and you win, mommy will come after you. So I did what I wanted to do, which was most of the time what I was supposed to do. And if I was going to go off track, it was by my own volition. It wasn't someone convincing me to do something. I just figured I was going to go for it. Sometimes I made it. Sometimes I couldn't lay down for a little bit. So you just make sure what you're doing is worth getting caught, and you go ahead with it. But if it's not worth it, don't do it. I want to read Matthew 5 in the Phillips and in the voice, just to kind of underscore what we've been sharing. It says, you are the world's light. This is the Phillips. It is impossible to hide a town built on the top of a hill. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a bucket. They put it on a lampstand, and it gives light for everybody in the house. Let your light shine like that in the sight of men. Let them see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. Let them see the good things you do. How do you keep people from seeing the bad things you do? Right. Because we are a city set upon a hill, and whatever we do is going to be seen. The Voice translation says, "And you, beloved, are the light of the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden. Similarly, it would be silly to light a lamp and then hide it under a bowl. When someone lights a lamp, she puts it on a table or a desk or a chair, and the light illumines the entire house. You are like that illuminating light. Let your light shine everywhere you go, that you may illumine creation, so men and women everywhere may see your good actions, may see creation at its fullest, may see your devotion to me, and may turn and praise your Father in heaven because of it." See, folks, your gifts, your talent, your light is of extreme importance. And we have to understand that. We, as the light of the world, should be allowing our light to emanate from the highest possible position so we can have maximum visibility, the same type of influence on the people exposed to us as Sephora had on the people that was exposed to it. Just like the lights of that city penetrated the darkness and gave light to the night because it was raised, we as the light of the world should raise our lights on high on a lampstand and give light to the whole area. Everywhere we go, we're not to cover or diminish our light in any way. Our presence should penetrate darkness, period, and give light to wherever darkness once ruled. Just our presence. Why? Because our lights are illuminated. So wherever we go, darkness should leave. Leave. The Passion Translation says, "Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead of hiding it in an obscure place, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as lights upon them, and they will give praise to your Father in heaven." I'm going to close giving you this thought, you know, from Sparkling Gems in the Greek, Volume 2. In reading it, I learned that letting our light shine, you know, it also means our gifts and talents. And I told you that we've been hiding our gifts. And even though I said it before, I want to read it the way Pastor Rick wrote it. He said, "The truth is that there are many people who are more talented writers than I, but they're not known because their gifts are still hidden under a bushel, and they therefore have not reached a larger audience. Although their skills are tremendous and loaded with power, they remain unknown and will remain unknown until they are willing to do whatever is required according to the Lord's instructions." Whose instructions? "According to the Lord's instructions to elevate those gifts and put them on a lampstand where they can be seen and appreciated. Only then will they begin to affect more than the small handful gathered around the table or the few who are sitting in the corner. If your light is going to be a blessing to the world, then you must dare. You must have the nerve." I put that part in. He said, "You must dare." You have to have the guts to lift your light high, put it on a pedestal where people can see it and be affected by it. Folks, I'm going to close with this. Your gift is not insignificant. Tell your neighbors, your gift is not insignificant. Tell them it's vital to someone's salvation. So don't be afraid to allow your gift to be raised to the highest possible stage. God has people. God has a lot of people, folks, who are waiting for your gift to be revealed. They're waiting. Because the revealing of your gift will cause them to glorify God. So don't let them down, and don't let your Father down. Let your light shine. Let it shine. Don't do anything that will cover it. Don't ever let your oil burn out. And you'll start seeing and hearing less about darkness and more about people coming to Christ. My wife told me, I haven't looked at the YouTube video. I don't know when I will, but I will eventually. But there's this church somewhere in China that's comprised of 30,000 youth. They've raised $30 million. Youth, 13, I think she said to 17. 30,000. And they're in this auditorium, and she was showing it to me. She said, you've been teaching on lights. They were all holding a light, and the whole place was just lit up just by the lights that they were holding. 30,000 teenagers, young teenagers. That's the population of the church. So we can't go on there, well, these children, they don't want to go to church. They want to go where there's light. They want to see the light. They want to hear about the light. They don't want to hear people complaining about their pastors or talking about, you know, a member or something that they don't like, or, you know, who does he think he is or she thinks she is, or all this, that. And they don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear it. It kept me from church. I mean, if I wanted to see the fights, you know, I could wait till on the Friday they had the Friday night fights. I certainly not want to go to a church anniversary service and see a fight. But we're wondering why people aren't coming to the church. Why is the church dark? We need to start letting our light shine, because Jesus said when your light shine, it'll draw people to us, just like that city set upon a hill drew people to them. Amen. Just like they came from all over the world. They will come to the light. I mean, they even know that in movies. They'll go to the light. Run to the light. I mean, you need to think about that. There are a lot of things that as a believer we have to be mindful of. But if we keep remembering, Jesus told me, I am the light to the world. Think of it in this light. Jesus said, as long as I'm with you, I'm the light. Then he left. But before he left, he said, you are the light. So just as you think about everything that Jesus did, that's what we're supposed to do. As the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. He sent me here to be a light, to be the light, not a light, the light to the world. Now he's gone. He's gone back to heaven. And we're here to be the light to the world. Got it? Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, thank you for simple yet profound knowledge that we are indeed the light, and you expect us to respond and to be exactly as that city of Sapporo, exactly as that lamp sitting on a lampstand. You expect us to give light to the whole house, the whole area, the whole region, the whole world. You expect us to allow our gifts and talents to be raised up to whatever level you deem they should be raised, so it will draw people to you, not to us. Lord, while we thank you, we repent for the times that we've stifled our gifts for whatever reason. But right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, you know, we declare that from this moment on, we are not stifling our gifts and we're not covering our lights. Wherever we go, we're going to let our lights so shine. We're going to let our lights be as such that they can never be dimmed. Everybody can see them. We're going to let our gifts and our talents rise to the level you want them to rise to benefit everyone. We don't want, Father, to be the one that takes our gift and buries it and then has it taken from us. No, we're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because we're going to allow our lights to shine. We're not keeping a scorecard, Lord. It's not about how many people did we get to come. It's about being a light wherever we go, with the understanding that as lights, fueled by the oil of the Holy Spirit, darkness can't do a thing to stop us, can't grab hold of us, can't put us down, can't snuff us out. We are the lights of the world. We are like that city built on the hill that doesn't have the power to hide itself. We're not hiding under a bushel or in a closet. We're coming out in the open, or as it says in one Bible translation, we're going public with this. And we're going to let everyone see the light of Christ at work in us. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, lights. Shine time. Amen. Do you understand? Do you really? Don't be shy about it. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Are you excited about being lights?
Yes.
So everywhere you go, we're going to have sunglasses on because you're going to be shining so brightly. But that's what it's all about, folks. Be lights. Have a good time being lights. Enjoy your gift. Enjoy, you know, the presentation of your gift and the dispersion of your light. That's all part of it. That's letting people know the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let them know that, you know, when you come to Christ, you're happy. Life is good. Life is great in Christ. That's what we want people to see, because that's, they saw that being in Sephora was good. That was the place to go. And so that's where people went. That's where people worked. We want them to seek us out just like they sought out those little frail clay oil lamps. Because they didn't care about the lamp. They wanted what the lamp could provide, the light. They didn't, and let me tell you something. They didn't care where the light was made, where that lamp. They didn't care what color the lamp was. They didn't care if one had a little different shape than the other. They didn't care if one was heavier than the other. They didn't care if one had a little crack in it. All they cared about was, this holds oil and it gives me light. And whatever price they had to pay for it, they were willing to pay because they so valued what it could provide. That's the way God wants the world to see us. They don't care what they have to pay, but what they see in us is so valuable, they know they can't live without it. We let our light shine, we'll have that type of response. Now I'm done.